like going to change what we did last night, Lord. So we're going to take care of it. But I had a lot of fun just kind of going through this. It's a little different. It's coming from a little different angle in the sense that it's more of a skit, but it's live, and it's I hope it blesses you. I'm going to run it. I'm going to check in about 30 seconds. If it is not working technically, I'll just go ahead and do it live. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just give it a go here.
So Boudreau Bordeaux from Lafayette, Louisiana, was born again in a camp meeting, in a tent meeting in Lafayette there in his hometown, and started going to church. And in the course of time, they assigned a mentor to him. And him.
How we doing, brothers? Is that audible?
Yep, it sure is.
All right.
Elder Jones would go and eat breakfast on Saturday mornings. And one Saturday morning, Boudreau had a question for Elder Jones. He says, Elder Jones, he said, I got a question for you. He said, you know, Boudreau, you can ask me anything you want to. He said, I'd be happy to answer anything. He said, Elder Jones, he said, I want to know. He said, I know the church is open 5 times a week. He said, I want to know how many times am I supposed to be at church? He said, that's a good question, Boudreau. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, Boudreau, I want you to think about the people in church. He said, I want you to think about who is the person that is most happy to be there and look like they just drawing their life from being around other believers and whatnot. And he said, let me think about it, Elder Jones. He said, you know who I like? He said, I like Evangelist Smith. He said, I see him at the door every Sunday and every Wednesday, and it just seemed like he just is so happy to be there and just love everybody. And we said, well, why don't you go talk to Evangelist Smith? So Boudreau finds Evangelist Smith after one Sunday service. He says, Evangelist Smith, I got a question for you. He said, I want to know how many times is it that I'm supposed to be in church. So Evangelist Smith thought about it for a second. He said, Boudreau, let me ask you a question. He said, you got a job? He said, yes, sir, I do, sir. He said, you know, I'm working down at the body shop down there as a mechanic. He said, well, how many times is it that you like to get paid? He said, well, I like to get paid weekly. He said, well, let me ask you a question. If you miss one of them, he said, would it put you in a bad way? He said, you know my financial situation. He said, yes, sir, it would, sir. I can't afford to miss no paycheck. He said, well, there's your answer. He said, Boudreau. He said, the Lord spoke to me a while back. He said, I don't go to all the services. He says, I go to Wednesday night, I go to Sunday morning, and I do evangelism on Saturdays. He says, but the Lord spoke a word to me personally. He said, I believe you're going to have to find it for yourself. But he said, I'm going to pray for you that the Lord will talk to you. But the scripture he gave me was Hebrews 10:25. It says, do not forsake the fellowship of the believers, so much more as that day approaches. He said, and he said, seemed like, he said, I used to be kind of hit or miss with church. He said, but it seemed like the more I did it consistently, the more I enjoyed my life in the Lord. He said, so I'm going to pray for you. He said, Lord, I want you to speak to Boudreau about where he's supposed to be when it comes to the church services. And in the name of Jesus. So Boudreau looked up and he said, Evangelist Smith, he said, I believe he already has. So a couple months go by, and Boudreau and Elder Jones are sitting there at breakfast. And he says, Elder Jones, I want to ask you a question. He said, you know we can talk about anything, everything. Boudreau said, what is your question? He says, well, he says, I want to know how is it I'm supposed to be in the Word. He said, I just have some question about that. He said, well, let me think about this. He says, Boudreau, he said, I want you to think about it, the people in the church. He says, who in the church, when they speak in the Word, they just, you just see them talking about the Word, loving on the Word. He said, when they talk, and they talk to people, they're quoting Scripture. He said, it just seems like they draw their life from it. He said, well, you know
who I like to listen to? He said, that Miss Kathy, the worship leader. He says, she has, when she talks, when she stops worship and just gives that scripture, seems like always like a dart to right to my heart. He said, it seems like it always on time. He said, well, why don't you go ask Miss Kathy? So Boudreaux looked and found Miss Kathy after after a Wednesday service. She said, Miss Kathy, he said, I want to ask you a question. She said, Boudreaux, I see your face out there. I'm so happy that you're growing in the Lord and you're worshiping and like people, like you just don't care. He said, that blesses me. She said, I'm happy. I'm honored to ask any question you have. He said, Miss Kathy, he said, I want to know how's it supposed to be with the Word. How am I supposed to be in the Word? And she said, that's a good question. Boudreaux, she said, you know, I really believe that everybody's got to ask and find out for themselves from the Lord. She said, but I'll tell you what, let me ask you a question. She said, are you hungry? And he said, yes, Miss Kathy, I haven't eaten since breakfast. She said, let me ask you a question, another question. She said, well, how often is it you like to eat? He said, well, Miss Kathy, I'm kind of busy down at the shop, but I like to eat, you know, 2-3 times a day if I can. She said, well, there's your answer. She said, Boudreaux, like I told you, I said everybody's going to have to find out for themselves, but I can tell you the Lord gave me a word, and it was Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the seat of mockers, or stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. And I really had to think about that. And you see what it says about that person? It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, whose bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And she said, you know what? That's kind of like my life verse, she said. And I used to be kind of hit or miss with the words, she said, but I found that scripture. And what I do is I make sure it's the first thing I look at in the morning and the last thing I look at before I go to bed. And I do that every day. She said, and most days I'm looking and searching the scripture just, you know, for an hour a day, just at my lunchtime whenever I can. But I don't miss. And she said, it seemed like the more consistent I was with the Word, the more I was enjoying my life in the Lord. She said, so I'm going to pray for you, Boudreaux. She said, Lord Jesus, Boudreaux wants to know where he's supposed to be with the Word. She said, Lord, I pray that you speak to him in the name of Jesus. And Boudreaux looked up and said, Miss Kathy, I believe he already has. So a couple months go by, Boudreaux's growing and learning, he's starting to serve in church, and he's praying for people, and one day he walks in, he says, you know, Pastor, he said, I started on this prayer thing, and he said, sometimes it's good, and sometimes not so much, he said, I want to be able to pray for people and give them something of use, you know, I want them to hear from God, and Elder Smith says, that's a good place to be, Boudreaux, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, who is it in church that's praying and you want to pray like? He said, thought about it. He said, Elder Smith, I don't have to think about that one very long. He said, I watch you. He said, seems like you don't take but 2 seconds and you're already right in the issue. You got the scripture for it and you're able to talk to the person and intrigue God. It seems like they walk away with what they needed from God every time and it don't take you too long. He said, Boudreaux, I wasn't always like that. He said, but I will tell you that God did give me a scripture. And he said, I think you're going to have to find out where you're going to have to be for yourself with the Lord. He said, but I will tell you this. Ephesians 6:18 was the scripture he gave me. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers. He said, and I was good at that. He said, but when I heard that word at all times, I realized I wasn't being like consistent like basis. He said, and I noticed that the more consistent I was with prayer, the more I started to enjoy my life in the Lord. He said, Boudreaux, let me ask you a question. He said, you know, it's 1,440 minutes in a day. And Budo did a little math in his head. Said, yeah, 60 minutes in the eye, 24 in the... He said, yeah, I believe that's right. He said, well, Budo, let me ask you a question. He said, of those 1,440 minutes, how many of them do you like to breathe in? All right, and he said, thank you, Brother Jones. Brother Jones said, listen, Budo, you got to hear for yourself. I'm going to pray for you. He said, Lord Jesus, Buddha had a question about how he's supposed to be praying. He said, I want you to talk to him personally. In the name of Jesus. And Buddha looked up and said, Elder Jones, I believe he already has.
So that little skit was the fun thing that I put together this morning. And y'all had to put up with my Paul Prudhomme accent from Southern Louisiana, but we had an evangelist come by our church on a regular basis who was from Louisiana, who I absolutely loved, and he would always talk about Budro. So nothing against country people, but I love to listen to a Louisiana accent, so that's why I chose that one. Anyways, point in the stories is this, that we all have to find where the Lord has us on a specific issue. We can certainly ask those that have gone before us and how the Lord spoke to them. But where you're supposed to be at this stage of your life, you really need to ask the Lord. And the good news is if you ask, he'll tell you. But the one thing that we're talking about this month is consistency. And I did have a very brief conversation with the Lord this morning, 3:30 in the morning. He reminded me of a plant that somebody had given me. We moved into a house. Y'all probably know where it is. The firehouse is on Ellesmere. It's the little cottage right behind it. And me and my wife moved in when we were first married. And somebody gave me a plant. It was called a prayer plant. It was in this big pot. It was green and it looked like it was all right. And I couldn't get it to, like, grow at all. And I'm like, you know, maybe it didn't like the spot that I had it. I had it on the front porch and got a couple hours of sunlight a day. But I found a spot going up to our bedroom that had 6-8 hours of sun. And I put it there one day, you know, and I realized I was watering it more consistently because I saw it when I was leaving the bedroom when I was coming up. So I was making sure that I had it in mind. I had it in my vision. And that, for that reason, it got the plant food that it needed on a regular basis. It got the sunlight that it needed on a regular basis. And it got the water that it needed on a regular basis. I mean, I had my hands on this plant because it was, you know, as I walked down the stairs, it would be at eye level. And it was a really pretty plant. And one day, this thing put out a bloom. It was a little white flower. And then the next day, it put out 3 of them. And then the next day, it put out like 17 of them. And I'm like, I called the girl who gave me the plant. I'm like, what is going on with this plant? Have you ever seen it? She said, I've had that thing for 20 years, and it has never bloomed. And I realized something was happening, and the Lord was teaching me something, that we are, you know, any living thing has to have the right inputs to prosper. And with, you know, as a matter of fact, there's studies that have given that if you limit any sort of living organism's intakes or its oxygen, it will not reach the potential size that it could. It's going to inevitably be smaller, less developed, less able to perform as whatever it is, whether it's a lab rat or a plant or whatever. But the same thing happens to our spirit. The less consistent we are in the spirit, the less, in a sense, it almost limits our growth. It limits our potential. And, you know, I'm thinking about that last kind of bit with Budro and Elder Smith, where he says, I wasn't always like that. A life in prayer is developed. And it's, you know, after a while you start praying for things and you start seeing answers, you realize that most of your prayers are going so you can line up with how God thinks rather than how you think. And so I wrote two or three things. Church exists like bones exist in our body. It's a place to hang all the important systems and functions. Without your bones, you'd be a mass of gelatinous muscle on the floor. But because you have bones, there's a structure to it. And the church functions like a structure. But your bones also do something else very interesting, in the sense that your bones actually produce the red blood cells that carry the oxygen and the nutrients in your blood. And when we get together, that's the other function of the church. They're supposed to be an exchange. Most of the time it happens from the pulpit to us as listeners. But when we're hanging around other believers, and personally for me on this phone call, I receive life when I hear my brother Jay speak, when I hear Gerald speak, when I hear Walt speak, and I hear them that just, I'm like, that was God right there, because these brothers are in the Word. And there's supposed to be that life exchange, just like, you know, the cells in your body are connected to your blood system. They receive oxygen, and they give off waste products like carbon dioxide. That happens in the church. That's why we need to go to church, because that's where life is exchanged. You're supposed to give, and you're supposed to receive from God in those interactions with people. One other thing is, you probably won't grow a whole lot if you don't go to church, if you're not in fellowship with people that can build you up, in addition, people that challenge you. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of detail, but if you push away everybody that challenges you, you're probably not going to hear the Lord a whole lot, because he uses people that challenge you. I'm talking about difficult people now. And don't push them away like this person's toxic, this person's this, that, or the other thing. Sometimes the Lord's using those people to help build you and to pull something out of your own life. The second thing was meditating on the Word. Really, there's no substitute. You meditate on the Word of God because you weren't naturally born with a mind for God's things. And as a matter of fact, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. But that's the reason why he gave his Word, because he wants us to think and operate like him. No substitute for time spent in the Word. The last thing is prayer. We pray to know the heart of God, specifically about a situation. We pray, you know, a lot of times I come out of prayer thinking, wow, I'm thinking completely different about this issue. And it's mostly because I just spent time with God, and he kind of corrected where I was, and now I'm in a place where I can start to operate like the child of God I am. Biology tells us if you limit the inputs, church, meditation, and prayer, you will inevitably be limited in your growth. And I got to be honest with you, there's one scripture I have to just kind of lay on. It's a little heavy. It says, he says, I appointed you to bear fruit. That's what this whole thing is about. We're supposed to bear fruit that we can't do in the natural. We can't do it without him, and he doesn't want to do it without us. But we're supposed to bear fruit. And the way we bear fruit is prioritize those, and they are things. I got to be honest with you. Church, meditation on the Word, and prayer, they're activities. But they're activities that show God that we're interested in pursuing him. And if you invest in those activities, it's a lot like eating. It's a lot like breathing. And you need to be consistent with it if you want to see growth. That's it. All I had for now, my brothers, I'm just going to pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your life over these men, that we really get a heart to know and to follow after you. That Jeremiah 24 heart to know you, that we could grow and produce fruit as Paul says, in keeping with our repentance. I bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Brother Patrick, that was on point, man. That was on point. Gonna... And I think it's really the first that we've ever experienced like a skit or a monologue. But that was good, man. Praise God.
You blessed me, brother. You really good, did. Man. You blessed me, brother.
I received that. I received that. And to wrap up our month, just to wrap up our month on the topic. And then, of course, on consistency, man, the scriptures just hit right on. Like, right, they hit the nail on the head, so to speak.
Sure.
So, thank you, brother, for sharing that with us, man. Really appreciate you. Any brothers on the line that want to share or contribute to, you know, how that blessed you? All right, well, we'll keep it moving. Don't everybody shout it.
It was magnificent. It was magnificent.
Amen. And I should not bypass our the part in our prayer call where we are soliciting prayers request. I mean, they're accepting prayer requests. So does anybody have any specific prayer requests or anything that we can be in agreement with you on?
Brother, well, I just want to ask for continued prayer. We are rounding the near the end of before my son gets here.
Mm-hmm.
Wife is 31 weeks yesterday, and this time last year is when we lost our daughter. So it's
mm-hmm.
we're close mm-hmm. to the end. So our memory is coming back. The devil's trying to bring us back to last year. Let's put it that way. I'm not acknowledging it in the sense that I'm not speaking it, but of course, you
right.
know, from time to time, the thought crosses my mind, and I make sure I tell my wife, like, look, we're fine, we're okay. You know, anything feels a little strange, we're definitely gonna, you know, go to the hospital or a doctor, a car doctor, or what have you. But I'm speaking to God with this thing, man. I pray every single day about my son, like every day.
mm-hmm.
And I pray with my wife. I pick and choose the times where I want to pray with her. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to inundate her, or I don't want to try to bring things on that she may not be feeling. It could just be me. So I pray. But as the Spirit leads, I pray over her and I pray with my son every day. But just to make sure that we are on the same page. And I just want prayer around the clock, man. I'm so excited. We're at the end. It feels good to see her in this place, but I also know at times we both experience, you know, the anxiety from time to time of thinking of last year. You know what I mean? So I just want to pray that, man.
Exactly, man. We're with you. As a matter of fact, you know, I was just looking at Hebrews chapter 4:16. Says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I want you to be bold about confronting, you know, the enemy of your thoughts, the enemy of your past, the enemy of any failure or past anything The past is a distraction for you to look at, so you don't continue to look forward. Hope always. Remember, we were talking about hope. Hope always looks forward. Hope is an expectation. Always looks forward. And any time the devil tries to throw what happened to you in the past, it's a distraction to keep you from speaking your hope, keep you from being bold about going to the throne of grace. So let's just get bold, man, and confront every thought. To bring you
Absolutely.
Back to the past, to bring you back to past mistakes, yeah, amen.
Okay.
And then you got help, grace, and mercy. You know, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You just get bold. Anytime you with Angie, and the thought comes up, just get bold. Get bold with her. Grab her hand. We gonna get bold. No. We've already prayed. We can now. We're just watering our prayers by speaking the outcome. By speaking,
amen.
What you believe, what you know, that's already taken place. So Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for our brother Gerald, his wife, our sister Angie, Lord God. We thank you right now that they are overcomers. Jesus
Amen.
Said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because he has, so have you. So have we. And we thank you right now that every thought that tries to tie them to the past, past failures, mistakes, or loss, we just bind those thoughts up right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for a spiritual boldness that comes across Angie and Gerald to be able to speak to those things. And matter of fact, not even to speak to those things, but Lord God, but they can continue to speak the outcome, speak the existence into existence of what they believe, and to pay no mind to what the devil is trying to make their heads turn backwards and look at the past in the name of Jesus. Now we know right now, Lord God, that their precious beloved daughter is with you, so there's no need to pay any attention to that in the name of Jesus. So we thank you right now that we pay full attention. They pay full attention to the outcome, the positive outcome of their baby coming to full term, their son coming to full term and being healthy in the name of Jesus. Devil, you are a liar. You, Satan, you are the father of lies, and we don't feed into any lies that you are, or any fear or any anxiety. And no, none of that. No longer shall you torment the Billingsleys. No longer, it stops here. We command you to cease and desist your order right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you so much for the joy that is their strength in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody else, brothers, want to add?
Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. All shall be well. All is well and shall be well. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, brothers. I know this is the part where we fellowship, and you know we like to. Let me just go ahead and just. I know Patrick doesn't not aware of all the commercials that we. Probably hasn't realized by now, but coming from Wilmington Christian Center Church, we just want to talk about. We're just going to speak of the services that we have online at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and that's at wcccw.org. And we also have a Bible study at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Thursday mornings at the same channel, wccw, that's three C's, one W, three C's, one W, .org, 7 p.m. every Thursday morning. And that would be it in the area of services. Brother Gerald, Brother Jay, anything you guys want to contribute? Anyone else on the line?
Man, I was waiting for the fellowship part to kind of get into things, but I want to say, beautiful illustration, Brother Patrick. I love it. I like that it was broken down into three phases, and how the brother just was inquisitive. And it was showing us that if we're inquisitive in nature, if we're hungry, we'll be fed. You know what I mean? Like, he made sure he sought out, you know, wise counsel to get where he wanted to go. Like, he had a desire to be good at these things. These people, they, you know, I see Brother Walt, I see Brother Jan, I see Pastor Phil as my examples in my particular church going. I look at these men as, like, God, you know, they're my examples. They know it. I tell them all the time, man, I love them. And they've helped mature and grow me up. And they continue to do so. So I think it's important that every believer has somebody in their life that is an illustration or an example that they can look at, that they can not look at where they want their life to go. You know what I mean? And it's not by any standard that you are looking at wanting to be like any man as much as be like the God within the man. And they know that. They don't get big heads about stuff that we say to them. You know, we know this is all about God. But at the same time, I think it's definitely important to let people know, like, how much they mean to you. The guys on ESPN and stuff like that always say, we don't give our guys or give people their flowers while we can. You know what I mean? So always make sure I let those guys know how much they mean to me. So it was an awesome illustration. Got a lot out of it. So I want to thank you for that. I kind of got the mic, I'll say this. I got a praise report from a few months ago. Pastor Phil encouraged me to let you guys know. Brother Walt, you already know. Brother Jay, you already know. But a few months ago, we were on the line. I asked you guys to be in the prayer of agreement with me on a new vehicle for my wife and I. And we got the vehicle probably like two weeks ago. And it legit was a custom-made car just for us, like Brother Praise Patrick God. Said. And it came over on the boat, like Brother Patrick said. So it was delivered from overseas.
That's
here.
Amazing.
Nobody ever drove the car. It was built from the ground up by me and my wife on the website. Custom built everything to the standards that we wanted. The guy that lives in my neighborhood works at the dealership that we go to or we went to. He took great care of us. My job is in partnership with this company, and I got 10% below MSRP on my car. and I was leasing a car. We were leasing a car. And at the time I was going to turn in, when the lease was up, it didn't have any trade-in value. But just like the housing market, the car market has turned around, gentlemen. So if you guys are looking for cars and stuff like that, by all means, get out there, do your research, find what you're looking for. Let God tell her make a car for you. But what it was showing me was that, like, God had his all in control. I was excited about a car. You know how we get with cars? We look at all the features and all that stuff. And at this point, I knew I could afford pretty much anything that I wanted. But it was more about the patience of the matter and what car God wanted for me.
Good.
A couple times I wanted to kind of scrap it because it took patience to really do it. My wife was like, no, I want the car that I want. And I'm like, man, babe, like, he's looking all over. He's going to Jersey, he's going to New York, Florida, different places to try to get the car shipped. And shipping it adds cost to your bottom line. And she's like, no, I want the car to look like this. It needs to be this color. It needs to look like, I'm like, oh, my God. but she always pushes my faith to be at a higher level. So I was like, all right, Lord, I'm trying to do this. We look at a lesser car, and it sounded like, oh, my goodness, like I was riding a motorbike. The car sounded like a motorbike, literally. It was going up a hill, and it was, like, making engine noises and working hard. And I was like, that's not the car that we test drove. And it doesn't feel the same, so I don't want to get this other car, but I didn't want to speak up. I wanted my wife to pick the car. That was the whole point, was for her to pick the car that we wanted. We didn't want, like, a huge SUV. We needed something real nice, sport utility. But as I was saying, our car, at the time, it didn't have any trading value. But they're saying that CarMax, Car Gurus, all these secondhand vendors of cars are, you know, gently used cars, those cars are now the prices of them are going up. People are in the market for them because what happened during the pandemic was the computer chips are now in the cars are on backlog because some of the factories have been shut down because of the pandemic. So these cars, you know, man, their value is crazy. They paid money for guys, they didn't even own the car. I was leasing it. They bought my car and let me use the trade-in value on the car we wanted. So when I walked away, by the time we walked away, I had MSRP, I had trade-in value, I had a little bit of money saved for a down payment, and my car payment is less than the car that me and my wife traded in.
Oh, my goodness.
For a luxury car, it's not like a regular car. So let everybody know, it's not a. Not to say anything's wrong with other cars, but I wanted to step up. You know what I mean? I'm a king's kid, so I wanted to
meet the interrupt. The word of God says He's given us all things to enjoy. We know that He's given us all things pertaining to godliness. Never ever feel shameful about having something nice. Amen. Don't ever feel that, bro, because, you know, somebody asks you, well, Brother Gerald, why you got that, you know, 4,000 square feet house? Why you got that, you know, however much your car costs, luxury car? Because I can. Because he can. Because he allows me to. Because I can. So, you know, man, listen, man, I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to leave it right there. Amen. So, praise God, man. Nobody's judging anybody, but that's a blessed testimony, bro. Blessed testimony.
Yeah, just wanted to get out, Pastor. Like, you need to let people know that testimony. I'm like, all right, Pastor, I will. I won't hold it back. I've been meaning to tell you guys on, like, the last few prayer calls, but he encouraged me to definitely make sure I share it. So if it's any brother on the line that's stepping out on faith to do anything, you want to hold the word of God. You know what I mean? You definitely want to go through some fears and and stuff, but God is there to test and show you how faithful he is to you, just how much you deserve what it is you want and that you're looking for. And that's kind of what I wanted to say. It's just, you know, he gives us the desires of our heart, like Brother Walt said, and he did it for me. It took me a few months to get there, but he's definitely faithful. I just want to let people know, like, you know, go for what you have in your heart and what you want, and let God lead you, and you'll get there.
I'm gonna interrupt you again, or interject again. He said it took me a few months to get there. If you're believing, your faith is there, you're in the Word, you're praying, and that's the vision God gave you, and it took a few months, takes you a few months to get there. Well, my goodness, when the birth of the baby arrives, the few months of praying, the few months of the baby growing, you know, from conception to birth, oh my goodness, it's like a flash. It's just like, you know, it's just like, you know, who's even thinking of, right? Maybe the mother,
if she had
to go through it. But like, you know, but who else is out on the outside looking in saying, oh, I saw every month that you were like, I remember you got bigger. I remember the fourth month, the fifth month. Nobody's looking at the 9 months, right, of believing, but they see the end product. Praise God. So I just wanted to share that with the brothers. Listen, when you're laboring in prayer, when you're believing God, when you're faithful, when you have to stay the course, because you will be birthing the baby. Amen. And the past of your being on your knees, the past of the nine months or whatever many months it took for you to get to where you're going, it could take years to get to where you're going, is like nobody's looking at that. It's the ordained and appointed time for the birth of whatever you have has been conceived shall come to pass. It shall happen. It shall come to pass. Y'all, we got to start believing. Like my brothers, just step up and believe for what you desire. Glory. Glory.
The funny thing, me and my wife are going to replace two of our cars today.
Amen.
How funny is that?
I'm just going to tell you, like you told me, I already got those people waiting on you. I'm ready to deal, ready, man. You encouraged me, and it encouraged me, man. I'm telling you, when I was in there, I was like, I ain't budging. I ain't moving. I know what I want. Show me whatever you want. If I like it, I like it. God, you got to work it out. Help me get there. Help me get on the right page with you. So I just pray that your faith is strong and it rises, and you stand resolute in whatever it is that you and your wife desire. It's going to come to pass. I already know. So I'm excited to hear your praise report now. Like I'm on the cheering side, like putting my hands in the air, jumping up and down, like go Patrick.
Yeah. See, that's how I feel about motorcycles. So I'm gonna have to go ahead and believe for a brand new Harley now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all know. Gerald, you know. Jay, you know.
I do know. We do know. Amen. So that's fair, Brother Patrick. I can't wait to hear the praise report in my house. Thank you, too, man, for coming back. And just thank you just for today's word and just always encouraging us all. You know, always, like Brother Walt said, always have a timely word. It just comes across so foundational.
You know what's funny, Gerald, is I'm probably the most inconsistent Christian that I know. And I'm not, and it's not hyperbole and it's not exaggeration. I'm like, I can be hot and I can be cold. I mean, you know, if I was a baseball player, they'd probably want me in April. They wouldn't want me in May. They would want me in June. But I know the Lord's working that out. I have every confidence. So Jake comes up and he's like, I want you to do the last one on consistency. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, right? but it's funny how the Lord works. So, you know, I look at it this way. I'm the sum of everything he speaks. And if I know you all have poured so much into my life. I'm like, Lord, I'm not giving them leftovers. I'm cooking something fresh, and you and me are going to get to it. And honestly, it didn't come through last night. And I'm like, well, I guess we'll probably get up in the middle of the night. And sure enough, and when I started getting a beat on her, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, this is good. But the funny thing is, this is probably the area of my life that needs the most of him right now, because, you know, I get distracted easily. I mean, I get pushed off and I get discouraged sometimes, but what he's telling me, and I have to listen to the whole thing myself again, because what I hear is, I just want you to be consistent, Patrick. I don't need you to talk to me for 7 hours on Saturday and forget about me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I need you to just be consistent with me, and it'll be easier to hear my voice. I'm like, Lord, I think I can do that. So I'm almost set out, just, I have a little goal just to not lose sight of what the Lord's doing with me from day to day, you know, from hour to hour, from minute to minute, and to do those things. I pray continuously, make sure I'm hitting my fellowship and make sure I'm in the Word, just studying it out. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of challenging to me because I do want to grow. I don't want to be the same person I was in 2021 that I was in 2020, and that's going to require some inputs. I need to eat. I need to breathe. And so it's kind of challenging for me. But I, like I said, was probably the worst qualified to speak about all that.
Man, that's a testimony in itself, how God will, he will use who looks and seems and appears to be sometimes on the outside the least qualified to get the job done. That is, man, you just spoke to everybody on this line, good brother. Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. My God, that's I don't care who you are on this line right now. You may be like, man, this is Brother Jay is so consistent in this word. Brother Charles is, well, Brother Patrick is. Look, man, God wants to use you right where you are right now. Well, no matter how qualified or least or how less qualified you think you are qualified. You are
qualified.
He's qualified you. Ooh, that's good stuff right there.
He's
pre-qualified you.
Yep.
He's pre-qualified you.
Mm-hmm.
He approved you. Your credit is good with him.
Come on.
But he sees the end, like we always say. He sees who you are and who he knows you are and who he knows you're going to become. So he calls you as you are, not as you see yourself or as you currently are. He's calling you to where he wants you. And that's the growing process that we... Like, all right, Lord, like, I'm coming, I'm all right, I'm trying to get there, I'm getting there, and before you know it, you look up, and completely different. And you just thank God for how he brought you.
I remember Pastor Phil drilled into our spirits. He said, you have to see yourself the way God sees you. When you start seeing yourself the way the Lord sees you, you know, it's less qualified as you think you are. You will make some moves to be like, oh, that's me doing it. That's me for real. Yes, it's you for real. That's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stop asking questions. Eventually, you're gonna be like, I just need to just do this a little bit more. You know, I just need to put that down. I need to forsake that a little bit more and do this a little bit more. It just happens. It's just how it is. I can't. There's no formula to that. It's just God. That's how he does it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say you might be filled. It says you shall be filled. You shall be filled with God's ways of his right ways, his right thoughts of doing the right things his way. That's what you always say. You keep thinking what you're thinking. You're going to keep doing what you're doing. You're going to keep having what you're having. So God, but God's always, when you're hungry for him, he's going to transfer his thoughts will become yours. And you'll keep thinking like him. You have the mind. You have the mind of Christ, and then you keep doing. Then you start doing the things that the way He wants you to do them, and then you're starting to start having what He wants you to have—the desires of your heart, which are His desires.
Amen.
I'm gonna stop.
Speaking of desires of my heart, I have a request that I'm gonna make. So, in 10 seconds, my parents made some decisions about the last stage of their life really late. It got to a financial situation. Anyways, they're in a house that's really unmanageable for them, considering their frailty. They're 91 years old, and we've been trying to get them out of the house for at least 6 or 7 years. And they finally made a decision to move. Anyways, part of it is they need somebody to come help them map how, you know, what's, think through what's going to the next thing. They have said no so far, but I don't want to press to the point where it's me, but my heart's desire is to be up there and help them through the process. And that would mean a trip up to Delaware. You know, I'd probably fly in and drive back. But I can tell you the one thing that would also be on my heart is when Wilmington, this is when I would love it to happen, the first service at Wilmington Christian Center International has services again in person. Actually, you might have already done that, but I'd like to see y'all in person. That would be a real big blessing for me.
Consider it done, Father. We thank you right now.
Amen. Just say the word.
You've heard his request, Lord God. You've already heard it. He's already spoken it. And you said when we, you said in Mark chapter 11, 22, I believe, 21, 22, have the God kind of faith that when we speak to the mountain, called it to be removed from here into cast into the sea, and when we shall have what we say, when we stand believing without doubting. For no doubt our brother is believing, and he has no doubt that he shall see us and that we shall meet in person and fellowship together. And we thank you for the joyous time that we will have when he does so. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we speak that in Jesus' name. Amen. We also speak over his parents, Lord God, over Patrick's parents. And we thank you, whether Patrick is going to be there or not, we thank you that you already, because that is their request for the parents to be safe and comfortable, Lord God. And I'm not even going to say in their last years, because you said a long life, you'll satisfy them. They may have 20, 30 more years to go. So I thank you right now, Lord God, that their next place, their next dwelling place will be a place of peace and quiet for them to maintain and continue living a quiet and peaceable life. We thank you for it right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and that you're setting up and designing the order of things. The angels are keeping charge over their lives, and they're setting up and designing things right now for their dwelling, for their comfort. Lord God, and for them to fellowship with family members and even enjoy their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, you design that place. You handle. We give it over to you, Lord God. No matter what family members get involved and help or don't help, we thank you that you already have it ordained for that to take place because of our faith and because of what we're speaking and because of even this prayer now. This is the confidence we have in you.
Amen.
That, Lord God, not only do you hear us, But you answer, you know, according to our as we believe, and Lord God, as we are in agreement, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to take some time to speak over with my brother Jay and Sister Mary Beth Wilson. It's their anniversary weekend. And I thank you right now, Lord God, for their union. I thank you right now, Lord God, that their marriage, Lord God, is for all those that look on will be like a seed, Lord God, sown into the lives of others. I thank you right now. We're talking about this month, this year, the year of consistently applied faith. I thank you for their marriage, consistently applied faith in their union, in their marriage, that they're both seeing the same, saying the same, speaking the same, hearing the same word, hearing the same messages, hearing from you, Lord God, the same way, even reading the word, reading the same thing, Lord God, that because you said, Lord God, when two touch and agree on anything, Lord God, it shall come to pass when two are better than one, for they have a greater reward. Oh my gosh, I thank you for those two, Lord God, the reward that you have prepared for them, because of them being consistently applying their faith together in that union, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that your marriage is an example for those, Lord God, who aspire to be married, and those who are married now, and Lord God, those who are continuing in a prosperous marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know why I'm looking at Donna. Let me pray this out. Father, I want to thank you for Mary Beth and Jay. And, you know, I know diamonds are probably one of the more valuable substances on earth per weight. And I want to thank you for a new value over their marriage that you know, where they're just seeing it differently. I know they have a strong marriage, but the depth of it and the depth of how valuable it is, not only to themselves, but to other family members. And they see the impact of the generosity they show towards one another publicly is a value to people that look at them. There's people looking at them and seeing how good it can be when two people just decide to put Jesus at the center of their lives. And so I want to pray that this, I think this is 22 they're celebrating, but that 23 could be just earmarked with the word value and an increase in value. I know I don't invest in stocks that they can regress. I invest in things that they can multiply and produce a return, and they can be more valuable when I'm ready to harvest from them than less valuable. And I pray that Jay and Mary Beth's marriage will increase in value, increase in just generousness with each other, and blessings and just the tenderness that they have with each other, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. Thank you for that anointed union. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brothers, I'm about to sign off. Y'all can continue if you want, but you know, brother's about to get into some things for the weekend. actually about to get into some words, to be honest with you, before everything. But praise God. Thank you, Brother Patrick, man. Man, if there was an offering plate, man, I'd pass it right on to you. Something in it. Nice for you, bro. You've done good, son. You've done good.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, brothers. You know, blessing all y'all onto your day. I'm out of here. If you want to continue to stay on, you definitely may. But I love you, brothers, and God bless you.
God bless.